Ah, Goldwinder! Lilui Nishmas Imi Marosi Rizmas Mordechai. Today's shir sponsored by Paris Achoyde Shmuel Yecht. In honor of David Zlatnik F200, Akiva Sokowitz F94, Shalom Rand F202, Shmuli Davidowitz B202, and the official 8-minute daf Yomi Committee by Justin Ivry. I finally realized not his real name. Lilu Nishmas, Pinchas Aaron ben Doiber, Ulilu Nishmas Rivko Bashlami Cheskel Chaim. He is the individual, whoever has seen him, I don't know, he ran into the house, dropped off 60 glasses, and kept on going. So if you know what he looks like, if anybody... Oh, I can go back to my video cameras, now I'm thinking. Aha! Okay. Dear Rebelli, Gavriel Rokach, Gavriel Rokach says, he's been learning Daf Yomi since Pesachim. Never thought I would be able to hold out this long, but thanks to you, I'm almost finishing my fifth Masechta. I'm not sure if you know what's going on here in England, but the country has gone mad. Everyone has been panic buying petrol, in parentheses, gas, for the past few days. Anyways, his wife told him she needs to fill up the car, so he pulls into line, and he started learning the daf. And his brother says, what are you doing? People are going to cut you off. No. He almost finished the daf. He's just two cars away from the petrol station. And the worker comes out and he says, sorry, no more petrol. Then, out of the blue, he looked at my car and said, I'm sure you saw that 8-minute daf magnet or something. He said, go ahead. As I filled my car with petrol, I watched at least 100 cars were turned away. I called my wife and told her, look what learning the daf does. Thank you for all your time and effort in giving these amazing shirim. Good yontif. Kol tov, Gavriel Rokach, Edgeware, England. Yisrael Goldstein, mamish moifsim, rabboisai moifsim from the daf. Just sharing a beautiful feeling last night. Listen to this beautiful feeling. Last night I came home late from Muncie, so I was up when the Rebbe started the shir. But about after 20 minutes, I was drifting off. So I went to sleep in the sukkah, but I kept the shir on in bed. There's no better feeling laying in bed in the sukkah and learning about the three colors, blue, red, and green. Thanks very much for tucking me into bed. Your favorite Talmud. Now, I told AB, I'm going to read his very, very first email. It's a very chashav one. He's a big Baal Kishrin, this kid. Dear Rebelli, I miss you. Come back to Chicago soon. Sincerely, A.B. Joseph. By the way, that kid Akiva, everybody look over there. That kid is an amazing kid. He stayed up twice, at least I saw him in my house, till after 12 a.m. I don't know what his parents are thinking. He's doing sponge on the porch. He'll go and schleps. It's unbelievable what this kid does. Unbelievable. Yeah, have a lot of cursive type things. He cleaned everything from the pizza. He carries the pizza, he runs, he goes down the stairs, up the stairs. He's a machine, pushing a machine. Unbelievable. And he listens to the daf. Boys, seriously, that sukkah was so unbelievable. I can't believe it's over. No? Every morning. What a... Now it's by you. It's unbelievable. Such beautiful breakfast. Such... And then, I gotta say, you know... Shana Rabba night, I took one for the team. When I was a kid, I was like probably 6-7 years old. My father asked me if I want to go to shul with him, Shana Rabba. I don't remember the name. In Farakwa, there's a Sulitzer Rebbe maybe. I don't remember. So there's some Rebbe there, like past the Young Israel. It's on the same block as the Young Israel path. So he said, you want to come? I said, no, I'm too tired. So I went to sleep. And then I woke up. What? No. Blumenkrantz is the other direction. I'm talking about... Right, so Blumenkrantz that way, Young Israel is in the opposite direction. Anyway, I think it was the Sulitzer Rebbe, if I'm not mistaken. So, anyway, I wake up in the middle of the night, and I felt really bad, like this remorse. I'm not going to. So I told my mother, I want to go. She didn't know what to do. She had kids at home, she couldn't take me. So she got a taxi. It's probably the first time in my life I went in a taxi by myself. And I said, I'll go to the shul. And this Russia, he stops and he picks up different people. And they were scary looking. This is for Rockaway. And they're sitting next to me. Anyway, I went to shul. So then when I got older, I said to myself, if I made such a sacrifice when I was 6 years old, I got to learn. So I took upon myself kind of like to learn. Everybody does it, but I like to learn at home the whole night. But this Hashanah Rabbah was the exact opposite. Because I was so knocked out, not only did I not learn the whole night, I woke up, the latest I've ever woken up in 3 years. Davening the 9 o'clock minyan, it was unbelievable. So geschmack. Took one for the team. Okay.
Welcome back from
Alevi. Who? Yeah, where were you? But you were here for Yontif, Givaldik. Ari, what are you doing here? Welcome, Ari. He was here 3 years ago. He's here back. He's back after 3 years. Okay. Wow.
He just wants the
All right. So anyways, it says like this. He sent the YouTube video announcing the sponsorship to the father of the boys. Remember those boys that are having surgery? They had it on Yontif. And the father wrote back, this has brought tears to my eyes. Incredible. Doing this for us is more important than any amount of money. I have watched this video now several times. I'm going to show it to Rafi as well, a 5-year-old who longs to visit Israel. All he talks about is going to Israel one day. I told him he will go someday, I promise. I keep my promises. Anyways, he goes on to say that the shir has ripple effects that you don't know. Like the guy that came back from collecting tzedakah Shmuel, and it inspired him. That story inspired this guy that wrote the email in different ways. He doesn't want me to say what. It's anonymous. But anyway, wishing yourself, your family, NDY staff, the whole NDY chevra, a piskatov, a year with overabundance of gezunt, nachas, parnos, atzloch, and all good things. Amen. Apparently, we're not all strangers. Everyone looking out for each other. Kol Yisrael, Reivim, Zelazeh, maybe Zoycha, through the NDY shir in the family, be able to bring all of Klal Yisrael together, b'mehera v'yameinu. Again, please have these boys in mind in your tefillahs. The procedure is set for this week, Beis Hashem. And his grandfather just wrote, I didn't have time to print, but the grandfather of these children said, he is now joining the daf, b'schus this whole thing, and he's going to get other people, Beis Hashem. All right. But there's a Rebbe there. There's a Rebbe. Do we have time to read this? Okay, we'll read it tomorrow. We have more. Beautiful stuff, pictures. Okay. Next time, Rabbi Givaldika, easy light sugya. We're starting a brand new Mishnah. Perfect time to start. Daf Koyach Chof Ches Omer Al. Says the Mishnah, sponsored. The Refuah Shleimah Avram Yosef Ben Chana, the official Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shoykel Adam Basar Keneged HaKli Oy Keneged HaKoypetz. Okay. In those days, they used to weigh meat. Now, this wasn't easy, this picture. This is Matzei Yontif. I did this. I designed this. The whole thing. There's something in the middle. I put this circle there. I'll show you why in a second. They used to weigh. Now, obviously, back in the day, you know, if you all have seen this, they have these weights that go on this side. Well, that's awesome. If you could do it with a big shinoi, like putting a nice large knife, a cleaver, then it's okay. Or a kli. You take something that weighs a pound, a soup pot, and you put it on the other side. You never do that in the weekday. So if you do that, then you can do it on Yontif. You can't touch this thing. Don't go close. What does that mean? Michael Liker. See, this thing is hanging from the ceiling. You don't want the mice to get to it. So use it as a shelf. You can't even use it as a shelf, say Chacham. Om Rav Yehuda Bar Ravin, v'hu detalya betrito. You can't use it as a shelf. If it's hanging from this ring on the ceiling, so now it looks like a scale, people don't know why you're putting the meat on there. They think you're putting the meat because you're trying to weigh something on yonder. They don't realize you're trying to protect it from the mice. However, let's say it's laying on the floor, then of course you can put it on the scale. Nobody's going to think anything. Om Rav Yehuda Bar Shmuel. So you have a professional. He takes a piece of meat and he said, oh, this is 2.4 pounds. And he takes weights and he goes like this. And he realizes exactly how much this piece of meat weighs. That I don't need. I need meat and weights. And if he's a pro, he knows how to figure this out. Let's say he has a measuring cup. He fills it up with water. He fills up half. Then he puts a piece of meat into it. and the water goes up a few lines, and then he says, okay, that's 5 pounds. I believe it's very difficult to figure that out. Not everybody can read those lines. You know why? Because the meat has bones, has this, has that. You have to know what you're doing. Think about it. In those days, you bought a piece of meat. How are you schlepping home the piece of meat? They didn't have cardboard boxes. They didn't have plastic bags. How are you schlepping home the piece of meat? They made a nice little handle in the meat. They would cut it out. They cut, stick your hand in, and you grab the piece like a suitcase. You walk in the street. How else? There's no plastic. There's no suitcases. Nothing. Man, I guess they had baskets. They had certain things. Okay. I mean, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We live in a... Imagine if they woke up, they came back to this generation, and they'll be in... But even if they go into pomegranate, they see the meat is on a thing, and it's like that, and the steaks are like the plastic, the vacuum pad. They don't know what's flying. Unbelievable. We take it for granted. If you could poke a hole, I don't know how you do that. I never tried. It would seem extremely difficult. But if with your finger you could like poke a hole into the meat, that's okay. And then Rashi goes in to say, this is uvdu d'chol. This looks like something you do in the weekday. Can't do it. But with your finger, it's okay. You're not allowed to leave the basar shen asal min ha'ayin if you have meat that wasn't watched over. Maybe they switched it out. Like that famous story that halavai it happened, didn't have. I mean, it's a ma'aseh shekamatoyah. Like the guy in the plane, he went to wash his hands on the plane and he came back and he realized that he had his sandwich that was basar shen asal min ha'ayin. So he didn't eat it. He put it aside. So then the guy next to him, the gentleman next to him, said, sir, rabbi, I noticed you didn't eat your sandwich. Why don't you eat your sandwich? He says, oh no, we have a law that if you don't watch your sandwich, you can't eat it. He says, oh, when you left, I stuck a piece of pork in there. I wanted to see what happens to a rabbi that eats pork. Kids, sir, we said over the ma'isa once, and somebody said it's a baloney ma'isa. Rabbi Gamlielski's grandson is here. Where is he? No, he's not here. We'll ask him. Oh, here he is. Yoel, is it true? Yoel Steiner's a grandson. No, right with Rabbi Kamenetsky. He doesn't want to say anything. No, did not happen with Rabbi Kamenetsky. I'm telling you. It was baloney. I said Badafka, that by the way. No, yo, it's true. Do they say it about your grandfather? Never heard that one. He doesn't want to put you on the spot. Story, no, they said it's about a Magichir or Shiva somewhere. Then we found out. Lamashana, it's a Gishmak in Maisu.
I don't think Rabbi Yaakov was on a plane alone.
Right. Rabbi Yaakov was never on a loaner plane, and he wouldn't be over on buses and Rizam. He wouldn't leave his sandwich. And he didn't eat, okay, whatever. They never identified. It's a great story. Well, you are allowed to make a special simon in the meat. And of course, Avram, Rabbi Avram Weisfish, we have a picture of him soon. Here's the simon that they used to make. And if you're looking in your Rashi, there's a little picture there. Not exactly sure why Rashi felt in this particular case to put a picture, but if you want to know what a triangle looks like, look in Rashi. Now, my chavrusa asked me, how come my Rashi, he asked me if I scribbled inside. So I looked at his. His is a triangle with a... It looks like it's hollow. So I just thought maybe people think that you have to hollow it out. Like a real triangle, like one of those triangles you put when your car gets broke, you know, it's breaks down on the tire. So mine, they filled it up. The whole thing. Here, Ron Weiser sent me a picture of a, I don't know how you do it, like to every piece of meat. Could you do it to ribeye also? Like certain things just wouldn't work out. Here, triangle, like this. Here. Sort of a triangle. Look, it's not going to be, Rashi's a real triangle. This is more practical with meat. How are you going to? So when you bring this home, when your wife sees this, she realizes, okay, this was shomer, this is kosher, it's like a plumba. Fine. Reb Chia v'Reb Shimon b'Rebbe. Two friends. Now it's interesting, I'm pretty sure I saw this today in Reb Zilberstein Sefer on this sugya. He brings this gemara and he says that they were brothers. And I think it's a mistake. I don't know. Okay. Ayin Shom and Reb Zilberstein, but Reb Chia and Reb Shim Berebi Shoiklim Mana Keneged Mada Miyanta. They divided stuff up. So what did? They put it on a scale. They put a portion against a portion. You get one, I get the other. Keman like Reb Yehuda, like Reb Baran. This doesn't go like anyone we know. Why? You could do so only like here. You're going to put a piece of meat on one side and something else, something heavy on the other side. You can't do it with meat. You can't put two pieces of meat, one on the other, because that's what you do in the weekday if you're dividing stuff up. Rabbanon say you can't even hide it from mice. You can't use the scale at all. So, who do they go like? Iru the Avad to Rabbi Yeshua. They went with a third sheet called Rabbi Yeshua, the sign of Yeshua. Oimer, Shaiklin Mana, Kenegin Mana Biyantav. You could weigh one piece of meat against another piece of meat and divide it. Omer Rabbi Yosef, Allah, Rabbi Yeshua. I'll prove to you that Allah is like this Shita, like Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi did. Because there's an anonymous Mishnah in Bukhari's like that. It's not and it says the Mishnah. Sula Magdashim and also like this. So it goes like this, Rabbi Isai, very, very posh. If you have a carbon, let's say you have a shlamim that has a mum. That has a defect, you can't bring it on the Mizbeach. So what do? You redeem it. The halacha is that since who's gonna benefit from you redeeming it for the most money? Hegdash. Now, at the end of the day, it's a little shver, okay, but Hekdesh doesn't really because they will. Because the more money you get, the more you're gonna flip it into the next town. They're gonna gain. At the end of the day, they're gonna gain. Fine. However, how do you get the most money? By weighing the meat, like a butcher weighs the meat. But that's disrespectful to Kachim. We allow that to happen. Now, when the animal has a psul and you redeem it, it loses most of its kedusha. You could eat the animal. You could sell it to regular people. It has a little bit of, teeny bit of kedusha. You can't work it. You can't shear its wool. But for the most part, it's not kaddish anymore after you redeem it. But we allow you to sell it and disrespect it, so to speak, put it on a scale like people throw around the meat in a butcher shop, even though it's kachim, so that Hekdish, the Beis HaMikdash will benefit at the end of the day. They'll make more money. When it comes to Bchar, we were just discussing Bchar the other day. Firstborn, who does it go to? The Kain. Beis HaMikdash is not going to gain anything. So if you allow the Bchar to be, there's no reason to disrespect the meat of Bchar and Meiser. Because at the end of the day, the only person benefiting it is a civilian, not the Beis HaMikdash. It's just the Kain. So it says like this, Psula Mikdashim and Asim Lagdash. The benefit goes to Beis HaMikdash. But Shaiklin, when it comes to Bechar, Shaiklin Mana, Keneged Mana, Bechar. You could weigh one portion opposite another portion on the scale. Now, Bechar, we just said, we don't allow you to weigh on a scale because you can't disrespect the Bechar. There's no reason to disrespect. But we said on the flip side, you could weigh one portion against another portion. So you see that a portion, two portions being weighed by a Bukhar is not a big deal. It's not disrespectful. We allow it by a Bukhar. We don't allow you to weigh it with weights. So Mela, from here you see this halacha like Rabbi Yeshua. It's not disrespectful. It's not something you do. Says the Gemara, Amalei Abayo, what's the connection? The Dimbalayi, Atkan, we're talking about Yontif. Could you weigh on Yontif? And bring a raya from Bukhar. We allow it in Bukhar. Rabbi Shua says, by us, by Yantif, you're not embarrassing anything. I will ask him, maybe Rabbi Shua won't agree that you let away one portion against another portion. Maybe that's considered bezayin. Over here, we're not talking about bezayin. Over here, we're talking about a malacha. Is it considered uvda dechal? Is it something you do during the weekday? Not. It's not about bezayin. It's not about disrespecting it. And if, on the flip side, Over there, Mishum Deloy Mirzei Kuvdin Dechol. Avalach the Mirzei Kuvdin Dechol, Loi. You can't bring a raya from Bukhar to over here, because over here we're talking about Uvdin Dechol, over there we're talking about Kachin. So the Gemara just goes into this. Lememro, the Kapti Adadi. You're telling me that Reb Chiya, Reb Shimon, why were they measuring like that? You take 1.5 pound, I'll take 0.5 pound. What's the difference? Why are we sitting there with the scale? Who does something like that? Vahanu Shav Bnei Yosa, there was 7 fish, Dosal Bei Rebbe, they came to the house of Rebbe. Vishtag Chamesh Minayu Bei Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya grabbed 5 fish. V'lekabe Reb Shimon Rebbe. Reb Shimon Rebbe got his 2, and he got 5. And even though it was his father, Reb Shimon Rebbe was his father, he didn't care. Yeah, there's a whole nida. Now you're allowed to take food without permission, if you know the person doesn't care. Okay, Omar Apap. Shadi Gavir Benayu. Let's change up the names a little bit. Reb Chiya, Reb Shmuel, Reb Yosi, Reb Shimon, Rebbe Ubar Kapara. It's either Reb Chiya, but not Reb Shimon Rebbe. Rather, the second one, the partner over here, is Reb Shmuel, Reb Yosi. So they were more makbid. Or if you want to go with Reb Shimon Berebi as one of them, so you have to go with Bar Kapara. But Reb Chiya and Rebbe, Reb Shimon Berebi were good friends. They weren't makbid with each other. They had a lot of, I think the Rashi says that they loved each other. So Mela, it doesn't make sense that they sat there with a scale and measured to the ounce. Zog the.
Like the story that you said before.
Yeah.
What else?
What?
We tell stories, and you get corrected afterward. It wasn't him, it was him.
Ah, like that. Yeah, okay. I hear. But at the end of the day, the Gemara uses the names, just not the two of them, together. Okay. The official Mishnah, sponsored by official Refor Shleim of Braino, Bas, Yantid Dvar. Ein mashchizin esasakin biyontif. You cannot sharpen a knife on yontif. So, very interesting. So, first of all, let's see if I have. Rabbi Avram Weisfish, of course, sent me a picture of himself sharpening a knife. Here we go. This is what it's not the greatest picture of Rabbi Avram. He is sharpening. No, this is a reflection of his tie. It looks good. It's great. It looks like he's cutting his tie. Yeah. So that's picture number one. Very interestingly, this tzaddik right over here sends me an email. I don't know if it was on purpose. Let's assume it was on purpose, that he went ahead in the daf, 3 daf ahead, and just so happened to send me this picture. If it's not on purpose, it's a huge coincidence. Yoel Kremsky from Detroit. It says, the subject. All it says is, Yoel Kremsky from Detroit doing the daf. And it says, B'siyad Hashmai, Agut Mayad. He's showing me that he's doing the daf. What's interesting about the picture is that he has the video playing here. The cord is around the knife, you know, one of these knives, and a bunch of pulkis over here. But what is he doing over here? Look what he's doing. He's sharpening a knife. It's a crazy coincidence. I got this literally a few hours before Yontif. He's sharpening the knife right here. So I don't know. I think it was a coincidence. I don't think he did it on purpose, but I hope that it's a much better story. We're down the kafschus, but Rabbi say, you think I'm going to let you do this whole sugi like this? A picture of a guy cutting his tie? No way. I want to show you something very interesting. Let me see here. Where's my bag, Yeshua? Oh, no. Is there a bag? Did he bring a bag over there? He slept the bag. Where's the bag? Now he's getting it. I don't need it now. It should be here. Where is it? Okay. Stuff is scary stuff. Look at this. This is a shechita knife. No, where's that? Where's that bag? Did he bring it? Is there a bag over there in the kitchen? I'll go get it myself. Somebody call Yeshua, ask him, please, ask Yeshua what he did with my bag that he brought here. Where is it? So where is it? He's not here. He's not here. He's just not here. So that this is a chicken knife. Yeah, call him. It's okay. Put him on. I need that thing. That's the main part. The stones. Where is it? Okay. Good. So this Rabbi is what they shech chickens with. This costs about $250, this knife. But I'm not showing you this one. This is child's play. What I want to show you is this knife right over here. I didn't need that. You guys need this. All right. This is a knife. Oh. Shkoyach Yeshua for putting that in the kitchen. Right where I wanted it. That, this is also child's play. Let me show you a real knife. This, they shecht lamb with. Shkoyach. Thank you. See this? Unbelievable. But this is garnished. Because we're talking about sharpening knives here. Oh, that's right. Now we're talking. This, Rabbi Yisai. This cuts. This, I'm scared to look at this. This probably killed 100,000 cows. Over. This is 30 years old. A real shaykhet, the neighbor of shaykhet. So anyway, it doesn't come very sharp. And what they do is, they have a whole thing with these stones. Here, let me show you if I can. Here, hold this a second. This knife, Rabbi Yisai, cost over $750. It's made by a frum yid. He's not alive anymore. Let me see. Hold on. I got to put this away. You know what? You take out these stones. Come here. Okay. So. What is this? Why did you bring this to shear? Here, pull it out. Let's see what happens. No. Is it sharp? No, does he know what he's doing? We don't need an injury here on live shear. Okay, fine. Michael, I believe, I don't know the exact. You want to fight? This is not what. You know what? This is good. We're going to leave this for later. This is Shamnunas. Great. But anyways, you take this stone. And you go like this. I'm not going to do it. But you go back, forth, something like this. And then you do it on the other side. And then they have a whole series of these stones. These are nice, expensive stones. No water. I don't know water. They have different things. And that's how, this is Hashchaza. You go like this. I don't know the exact motion. Don't quote me. The bottom line is it becomes extremely, extremely sharp. And then it's pretty gross if you ever watch it. They take their thumb, they take their nail, and they go, I don't recommend it to anybody. And that's what we're discussing here. Could you do this on Yontif? Says the Mishnah, Ey mashchizin sasakim biyontif. Avo masiyo agabe chaverto. You could go like this. One and the other. Okay. What is this? A TV show? We're learning Gemara here. Amar Avuna. Loishanu Ella Bimash. Hold on for him. Is that okay? Y'all safe? You good? Now he's going to take all of those and make a whole thing out of that. Okay. Okay, so very, very simple sugya. I made it a little bit more confusing than the sugya itself. Stam, for the fun. I can't put this down. I have to hold it. You know what? Let me get rid of this for a second. I hope this guy's not watching the shir. He's like chalishing. I have his knife. Yeah, for 30 years. He's the guy that shechted the sheep for us. They bought us a sheep. Bought me a sheep for Mesechtas. No, Chulin was... Yeah, Chulin. They brought a sheep into the Siyum. And then he just grabbed it and he shechted it on the spot outside and Abi stole the meat. So it says like this. Yeah, leave it. It doesn't hurt. Basically, we have four simple sayings here. Now that you can leave. Leave that out because I'm going to need that. Evan Osir. To do it with a stone like this is Osir. So what we can learn from that is, and the Gemara says, what does it mean? What's Osir? What part is Osir? L'chadid. To sharpen. Which would mean that if it's wood, it would be allowed to even sharpen. If a stone is Osir, to do what? To sharpen. So wood is mutter to sharpen. Or, we learned this. Wood is mutter. To do what? Shamnunis. So shamnunis, you see this grossness on the factor knife? Yishkach. Dr. Factor is a plastic surgeon. And this is what his tools look like. I don't. You're a mile? Yeah.
Only for adults.
I didn't want to say anything. I hope nobody heard that. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say it, but we're alive. You said it. Great. I hope nobody heard it. Eitz mutter, to take off the grease, the terrible stuff that Dr. Factor left this on his knife. This is what he has. Fine. Listen, this won't kill you, but it'll give you, you'll need a tetanus shot afterwards or something. Fine. Now, based on just this line that you're allowed to use wood, it comes out that a stone is usur, but we only know one halacha for the grease, only to take, even to take off grease. Fine. Next. Then we have, it's usur lahashchiz, meaning you're not allowed to sharpen. And the Gemara tells us that it's for sharpening. Lahashchiz, you can't use a sharpening stone, one of these guys, to sharpen. But it comes out that if you use your friend, use another knife, that's mutter. And then finally we say, using a friend is mutter, so what comes out from that? What does it mean? Mutter to do what? To sharpen or grease? Grease. If so, if you're going to use a sharpening stone, then grease is also. Those are the four things. Let's see it inside. I know it's more confusing than it is. Omer Havuna Leishon Olav Meshchezesh 11. This that we said you can't sharpen on Yontiv means doing professionally. Here's beautiful. I can't believe you let me have all these. He's using them. He's going to work tomorrow morning. You got to get it to him tomorrow morning. This is Mashcheze 7, literally. This is what they did in those days that they do today. And when you buy these knives, they don't come sharp. They come very dull and they sit there for hours, back, forth. There's a story, I'll say it for the guys in Borough Park. What's his name? Right, yeah, it's one of those. The Valley Meilach. What's his last name? Lezins, right. He came to a certain shul, and all the shaykhim came out to show him the knives. You know what? It's not even for here. It's for later. The halacha is that you have to show the knives to Chacham. Okay, we'll say this. Jump the story. We'll say it now. Because I'm going to forget it later. So what did they do? They knew he's coming, so they all ran and they started sharpening the knives real good. And then they showed it to him. There's one shaykhet that said to himself, listen, why should I act differently than I act with the Rebbeinu Shlomo? When he's not here, I don't sharpen it that. It's good enough for Hashem. I'm going to leave it as is and show it to him. So he showed him the knife and he looked at it and he said, oh, if it's good enough for Hashem, it's good enough for me. You chavt ma'isa? You're not chassidish, you don't have. Okay. And all as he had Ruach HaKodesh, he knew. Okay. Na'ichav, this is Litvak. Omer Avon Elishon Elam Avshezesh 11. Avshezesh 8, Mutter. The Mishnah is only talking about the professional way. This is what you're not allowed to sharpen on Yontif with this. But if you just want to use a piece of wood, that's okay. That's enough of a shinoi. Doesn't look like Gavdi Lechol. We're fine. Omar, Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, another way. Hold the Amr Shalevin, Asur. This, that. Oh, now, sorry. We're going into Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Evan. Now, what's Asur in Evan? Hold the Amr Shalevin, Asur. That's only the sharp. Just to remove a little bit of the, it's like washing a knife on it's mutter on yantav. You let it take off the fat. Michlal the b'shal eight. I feel the chad and nami mutter. Comes out that if you're using, it's only usur to use a stone to sharpen. But if you're using and Shamnunis is mutter even on a stone, meaning when it comes to wood, it's even to sharpen is mutter. Some say this goes on the end. Mishal eitz mutter. It says in the Mishnah, you're allowed to use. No, it doesn't say. In Rav Huna, it says, Shal eitz mutter. You're allowed to use wood. Omer Rav Yehud, Omer Shmuel, on that he says, you're allowed to use wood. Don't think to yourself that you're allowed to use the wood for everything, even to sharpen it. No, it's only to remove the fat. So this gives us huge chumra here. Avil chadad aser, with wood would be aser to sharpen the knife. V'chlaz shul even. And then from there, I'm going to be daike even more. The worst of the worst. Afid l'havish amnunusa aser. According to this diuk, it comes out that to remove the fat, which really constitutes cleaning a knife on yantif, would be also to clean the fats off the knife with a stone. The mamish looks like uvdu l'chol. People will think, why are you using this? If you saw somebody cleaning a knife with one of these, what would you think? Sharp. You think you're sharpening. So mainly, even though your intent was to remove the fats, it's still also. And some say on the Mishnah, it says in our Mishnah, you can't sharpen a knife. The whole issur is to sharpen all the havish and nusim mutter, but to remove the fats, it's mutter, mechlal, dagavi chaverto. Comes out that one knife on another knife, afilu chad nami mutter. That nobody thinks anything, it's not over the chal. Nobody does that typically on a weekday. It's crazy to do it. You probably ruin both of your knives. So mele smut. Vikit the masa seifa. It says in the Mishnah, our Mishnah, the one line Mishnah, you're allowed to use its friend, you're allowed to use knife on top of knife. The whole heter to use another knife is to remove the dirt from the knife. It's also to sharpen. You hear this four ways to be medayik. Bottom line, four ways to be medayik. Comes out that if you're using a real stone, even, and this is the chumra that we had before from the brice, the same thing comes out, that to remove fat from a knife, on yantav, with a stone, is also because people think that you're sharpening it. Mantana v'shchez is also? Who says that you're not allowed to sharpen a knife? Now what's the issur? So, in the Mishnah, I should have pointed it out, why is it also to use a knife, to sharpen a knife? What's the issur? Where's the issur? I do that all the time. I get all excited to show you the picture and the thing, and I forget the halacha. The halacha is because it's a machshirei oichlim. You're allowed to cook on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to make the knife to cook on Shabbos. On Yontif, sorry, did I say you're allowed to cook on Shabbos? You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, sorry. Now, there's a whole group of people now in New York that cook on Shabbos. Ali said, no. Yeah. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Eichel Nefesh. But Machshiri Eichel Nefesh, the step before that is not Mutter, says Rabbi Yehuda. Or is it like Rabbi Yehuda? Sorry. Sanya in Ben Yom Tov Shabbos Eichel Nefesh Vivad. You're the matter of Machshiri Eichel Nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to sharpen a knife for Eichel Nefesh. So maybe our mission doesn't go according to Rabbi Yehuda. Omalei Rav Adar Mechizda Damshin and Mishmach Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Rava says to his father-in-law of Chizda, is it true that you say that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda? That it's permitted. He's mechulik on the Mishnah. You're allowed to do machshiri oichel on yantiv. You're allowed to sharpen a knife in order to get food to cook on yantiv. Yes, halavai, I did. In fact, you should always say these beautiful things in my name. Oh, my Rebbe Nechemya, brother of Yosef. Havakim the Kamei the Rava. So Rav Nechemia, the son of Rav Yosef, says, I saw Rava. Vahavo koma aber l'sakina apuma didikula. He was sharpening the knife on a basket. We just turned to Chof Chesam and Beis, sponsored by the MDY Tehillim. For all those who need to do Chumash Fusin Shuas, please join us at Tehillim 8mindaf.com. Sponsored by Natan Koshnud. For his chos, for my children, I call of Ben Devorah and Yisrael, Yaakov Ben Devorah. You should do well in Eretz Yisrael. Have a cheshek for Torah, mitzvahs, and your Shemayim. So I said, I see him going like this, back and forth on the basket. So I ask him, L'chad the kovet mar, or l'havi shaman nuso? What are you doing over here? It's one of the two things. Are you sharpening a knife, or are you trying to clean the knife? He lied to him. He said, I'm trying to remove the oil. And I saw. I could tell. So why did he ask him? He wanted to hear the halacha from him. Look, guys, cleaning, there's one way to clean. You go back and forth this way. And there's another way when you only do the edge. That's sharpening. I could tell that he's sharpening. Because sovar halacha v'ein moirim came. The halacha is that you're permitted to sharpen it, but you don't tell people. You don't tell anybody. So, because at the end of the day, it's a very delicate halacha. Why? Rabbi Yehuda allows machshiri oichol. You hear God? Machshiri oichol. Rabbi Yehuda permits doing a malacha to get to the knife so that I have food, but only when you couldn't do it before Yantav. So start telling people, start telling regular folks, Amaratzim, you're allowed to sharpen the knife, but only on condition that you couldn't sharpen it before Yantav. Okay, no, it's going to get lost. And Mamela, don't tell people about this malacha, just say it's awesome to sharpen a knife. It's also to do this, a malach like that. I was in front of Rabbah. Another, like a sharpening stone. And I told him, same exact story. What are you trying to do, Rebbe? You're trying to sharpen it or remove the oil? Again, he lied to him. He said, you see from here that you're allowed to lie for these kind of things. Said, nope. I'm trying to clean the knife. Even to another gadol, he didn't tell. Chashev Talmud. The chazit ledaita the chadik ovid, I could tell that he was trying to sharpen the knife. The kasavar alocha, ve'morim kain, and Rabba held that the alocha is you're allowed to sharpen, that's why he sharpened, but you don't tell the common folk. Iboilu, ma'u lahari sakin l'chacham b'yamtav. Could you go to the ma'ilach m'zich? No, they're going to make fun of me now that I forgot the name. Are you allowed to go to the Chacham to show me your knife? Again, because you cannot use a knife unless the Chacham saw it. Make sure it doesn't have a nick and it's kosher. Rav Mori, could you go on Yontif? So the Shaila is, Rashi again talks about Uvda Dechal. Others say that's Misakim Mana. It's, you have a knife that you can't use, and when you go to the Chacham, it becomes mutter to use. It's like taking Truma Semaisers on Shabbos Yom. Rav Mori B'Reda, Rav Biznes Shari, Rav Boron Asri, Machloikis, Rav Yosef Amar, Talmud Chacham Roya La'atzmoy. If you yourself are a Talmud Chacham, you have the right to look at the knife and check it and say that it's kosher. U'mashilo L'acherim, and then you allow other people. So you have a trick here. Since you can't go to the Rav on Yontif, and you don't have a knife, so what do? You go to the Rav that has a knife, and he'll check his own knife, and then he'll lend it to you. Vom Rav Yosef, sakin sha'omda, you have a knife that became dull, mutal chadad b'yamtiv. You're allowed to sharpen it. It works, you're just making it better. So that's mutal. Vanimili, hu, the paska gav duchka. It's only if you're able to use it, like pushing hard, and it'll work. But once it stops working, then you're not allowed to sharpen it because now you're creating a new knife. You have all these things. You have a knife that has a nick in it. You have a skewer that broke. You have a ton of a kirayim. Where's the ton of a kirayim? Oh, here. Hello. But be careful with these guys. Your brothers, they're next door neighbors. You got to be very careful. Okay, so where do we have? We have a tanur and a kirayim. They're the same thing, basically. This is a single burner. Could hold one pot. Kirayim is plural. Could hold two. Same thing. The point is, I'm doing here a machshir to get to whatever I need to get. I need to remove the coals, clean it out. I need to sharpen up the knife, sharpen up my skewer. Are you allowed to? The only difference between Shabbos and Yontif is the fact that you're allowed to cook food for Oichel Nefesh on Yontif. Rabbi Yehuda Matir Af Machshiri Oichel Nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda holds even the step before is mutter, like sharpening the knife. My time at the Tanakhama, why do they say sharpening the knife is also? Makro, hu levado yasa lochem. So we had this already a number of times in the Masechta. We're talking about oichel nefesh. What's the pasuk? Achashe yachel lochel nefesh. Hu levado, only oichel, linefesh, food. That's the only thing you're allowed to. Hu veloy machshirov, the food, okay, but not the knives. It says in the pasuk lochem. Lochem l'chol tzorcheichem. So now the Gemara has to explain. They learn from the who. He learns from the lochem. Why? But what are they going to do? It says lochem. It's for your benefit. Whatever you need. Also something that we have. You're allowed to cook for your family, but not for the non-Jew. But what are they going to do? What's Rabbi Yehuda going to do? It says who? Only food, not knives. Oh my Lord, Rabbi Yehuda will explain. Ksiv hu, ksiv lochem. Veloy kasha. Kam b'machshirin, shev shal asayisim erev yontif. And here, he explains the halacha that he said. Yes, you're permitted even the hechsher loyuchel nefesh, even the step before, even the knife, provided that you didn't have a choice in the matter. You couldn't do it before yontif. And that's a very tricky thing. Kam b'machshirin, shev shal asayisim erev yontif. Kam b'machshirin, shev shal asayisim erev yontif. That's why you see that Rabbi didn't want to say this halacha. And who else was it that didn't want to say this halacha? Rava. Rava and Rabbi both didn't want to say this halacha because it's complicated. You have to know, were you able to do this before Yontif or not? Everybody's going to say, yeah, I couldn't do it. That's why, Rebbe, I'm sharpening my knife now because I couldn't. I didn't have the knife before. Okay. Om Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel. Shaput Shenirtzaf. I wanted to bring a shaput, I forgot. I don't even know if I had one. But anyway, a piece of metal, skewer, bent. Also, the Tachdim Yontif, you're not allowed to straighten it out. Pshito. Tzricho davgav dimi padish biyontif. You can do it with your own hand. You don't need to take a special, fixing a horseshoe. You need all these tools. Anybody could bend it. A kid could bend it. Even so, you're not allowed to do it on Yontif. Vomer av yodom shmuel shapuch tzali bebasar. You take a skewer, and you put it on the barbie, on the grill. What does it look like when it's done? It's kind of gross. So it becomes mukta. Also, tatla beyond it. You know, I'll do anything with it. Oh, so we have to remember this. The sukkah is brought down a few times in Shas. And it's very, very interesting. The first time that I had the sukkah with the chevra is on the second day of the shir. V'zara daf choftes. I don't remember from them. And I don't think I made a chart then. But the second time we had it, I don't remember what Masechta was, but we had it again. And that chart is from then. That what? Rev Malkiyoy, there's two Amaroi. One is Malkiyoy, and one is Malkiyah. Malkiyah and Malkiyoy. So Rev Malkiyoy says that the shapud, the skewer, comes up with halacha, shomtoi umanichoi bekeren zavos. Now from the words, you wouldn't really understand 100% what's going on here. But Rashi explains that your metaltel, tiltum anatzad, no, you don't touch it. You're not touching the skewer. You take something else, you push the skewer into the corner quickly, And that's how you get rid of it. You put it and throw it in a corner, but not with your hand. Provided that has kezayis boss, or if it has a little meat on it, then you let it push it. But if it doesn't have any meat on it, then even with another kli, you cannot push it into the corner. Ravina Omar, af al pi she'ein olav basar, mutal tataloi, you're allowed to move it, mida have a koiz b'shus rab. This is a sharp metal object. It could cause severe pain, even more than like stepping on a piece of Lego. If you step on one of these shapudim, it could like go deep into your foot. So it's no worse than a thorn, that you're allowed to move a thorn less than 4 amas. Stop, less than 4 amas. Keep on going, 4 amas until you get it out of the way. Like a piece of glass. What? No, it's most. Muxim Achazmiyas. Yeah, you just pulled it off the grill. It's full of fat and disgustingness. Nobody wants to look at it. Like a dirty plate. Because you need it. You're saying you're going to use it again? If you're going to use it again, maybe. You're right. If you're going to need it again, yeah. All right, we're going to... Fine. Omer avchina b'reda raviko, shapud, shvachos, v'gumois, rav malkiyoi. So here it is. We want to make a simon. We have two very similar amaroim in Shas. And here are the six halachas that they said. 3 and 3. Shapud, shvachos, gumois, bloyrus, efer, gvina. Now why are they blue and red? Because that's the next... The Pshat in the Gemara is all the blues is from the Amoraim, and the reds are from the Tanoim, Mishnayis and Brises. So he says like this. Let's try to get, we have time a little bit. So we'll try to say what these things mean. They're cool halachas. Shapud, Shvachos, Begumois. Shapud is what we just said, right? Shapud, according to Rav Malkiyoi, said that if you have a skewer, you push it with another kli or something into the corner. Shvachos is that if a woman has even 100 slaves, she comes into the marriage with a lot of slaves, the husband could make her work, force her to do something with her life and not sit back. And Rashi says, very interesting, women who are bored brings them to znus and bad things. So that's why you can tell your wife, get a job. Even, yeah, I know that you don't have to work because you have all... You have a trust fund and you have all these servants, but I don't want you to be a prutza. Fine. Gumois. When it comes to what? No, with this, you take this and then you talk. Fine.
I hope my wife is watching this.
Your wife works, his doesn't, and that's the. I don't know what to say about my wife. I'm just gonna. If she watches, she watches. Tomorrow she'll get a job. She doesn't watch that. Okay. Gumois. Now today's different. Today's different. They have anicles, they have this, they have to cook for Shabbos, they have a lot of guests. It's different. They're very busy. Shopping is very busy. Gumois is, we know, Shtei Sairois makes a kid a gadol. If there's gumois, there's pores, even if there's no Sairois, you can tell that there was Sairois there. And they're a gadol. Bloyrus. Ooh, this is a good one. So I was looking for, I had a picture from a mesecta. I don't remember where it was. I looked through hundreds of pictures tonight. I couldn't find it. Baruch Hashem, I couldn't find it. I found a much better one. Bloyrus. Here it is. They used to shave and leave like a pony in the back for Avodah Zarah. He's in the Dafshir. Yeah. So,
symbol in there.
Right over here. Tattoo on his head. So the halacha is, if you are a Jewish barber, you're not allowed to do this because this is Avodah Zarah. So you have to keep, you have to give him 3 fingers in all directions. The 3 fingers. You have to, obviously he's not going to use you again. Yeah, shvach ha'maisa. But this is what you do. And just this Shabbos, I think it was Rabbi Sussman that was telling me, there's a bachur that the barbers here, there's a big, they have a dilemma because a lot of people do 0-0 And if you're a barber from barber, halachically you shouldn't be doing that. Could be issa deraisa to cut off, to do 0-0 on somebody. And there's a bacher that was a very good barber, his Talmud, very good barber, and the guy said, on condition that you do these 0-0, half the community likes the stuff. Kids are, it's the style now, to go the buzz over here. And he said, no, he wouldn't take the job. Lamai said, then he hired him, and those kids, they have to go to a different barber. He won't do that. But okay, anyway, here's the halacha. You cannot give a guy here, don't say it's his problem. It's his, no, you're helping him with the iser, and that's also. Okay, what else? Gvina. Oh, that was the halacha. That was, remember? I'm Schoenberg. From Avodah Zarah. Why is cheese from a non-Jew aser? Because they coat it in lard. So I remember you discussed it with me back then. Fine. So that's that. Says the Gemara. Those are the halachas that belong to each one. Three for Rimakiyoi, three for Malkiya. What did I skip? Afer. Afer is that if somebody has a wound, open wound, don't put in ashes there, because when the wound heals and the ashes are in there, it leaves a mark and it'll look like tattoo. And it's awesome. Says the Gemara, Rav Papa Omar. Let's read it again. Omar Rav Chinen Rav Rikas Shaput Shvachos Vegumos Rav Malkiyoi. Beloyers Ever Miklum Gino Rav Malkiyo. Rav Papa Omar Masnisinu Masnito. So that's Rav Papa says it goes by the Mishnah and the Braisa, which are the reds, are Reb Malkiya, and the blues, which are the Amirayim, are Reb Malkiya. So, Masnisim Reb Malkiya. Shmaitzor Reb Malkiya. V'simanach, how do you remember it? Masnisim Malkiya. The Mishnah, the reds, are Malkiya, which is more feminine, not Malkiya. Malkiya is like a Malka, like a queen. May binayu, iki binayu shvachas. Because Shvachos is in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah needs to be over here. This needs to be red. Now what happens to Afer? Does Afer go back to Rav Malkiyoi? Is it 3 against 3? Or if I bring Shvachos over here, it becomes 4 against 2. You hear the Shaila? Rav Malkiyoi is all red. He gets the reds. So Shvachos goes into his column. Now what happens to Afer? Does Afer stay in his column or not? Rashi says, and I don't think I learned the pshat like that back in the day when I did this chart, so that's why I need a new chart for tonight. This is what Rashi says. I hope it's not too confusing. He says, Shvachos goes over here, and Afer stays over here. So Rav Malkiya gets 4. Loiris, Afer, Shvachos, Gvina, and Rav Malkiya gets only 2. These 2. Shapud and Gumois. Azoi learned, not everybody learns like Rashi, but that's how Rashi learns. Should we do a little bit more? What time is it? How long are we learning? It's late? Oh, Doylem is tired. Okay, fine. See you tomorrow, Bezer Hashem.